The book of Genesis, chapter 50. That is the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis. And we commence reading at the verse number 14. Genesis chapter 50, the final chapter, and the final verses of this passage of God's word. Genesis chapter 50 and the verse number 14.
And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren and all that went up with him, to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren, and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? For as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, and to Isaac and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Let's pray together, please. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray that thou wilt take of thy precious word and that thou wilt write thy word upon each and every one of our hearts. We thank thee for this infallible book. We thank thee, O God, that thy word is truth, that thy word is forever settled in heaven. And O God, as we draw to the close of Joseph's life, we pray that thou will remind each and every one of us that we have only one life on this earth, and as a vapor, it's passing away. O God, I pray that we might live it and use it to the glory and the honor of thy holy and thy precious name. To this end, O God, help me to preach thy word as thou hast given it, and honor thee in all things, for we pray in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. We find in the verse number 14 that Joseph is returning back from the land of Canaan, where he has now left his father. And he and his brethren, as they return back, they are worried because they fear that Joseph will remember the evil that they have done against him. And so therefore they deliver a message from their father. Now whether their father gave this message or not, I don't know, because the Spirit of God doesn't record this message. Was this simply to save their own bacon, as it were, to save their own lives? I don't know. But what I do know is this, that whenever they pleaded, as it were, for forgiveness, we find that Joseph, in verse 17, Joseph wept when they spake this unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said, Fear not, for
for am I in the place of God? And then he said this, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. And so we find that Joseph seeks to bring a comfort and assurance to his brothers, because in verse 21 he said, therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Now, of course, he brought assurance to his brothers and he brought comfort to their hearts because of the assurance that he carried in his own heart. You see, I believe that that little verse, number 20, gives us the secret of what carried Joseph through even in the hardest days that he ever faced. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. And I believe that that was the thing, and that was the thing that comforted and brought assurance to the heart of Joseph, even in his toughest day. And it is this fact, that he believed in a sovereign, all-wise, all-loving, all-powerful God who was in absolute control of human affairs. You see, I believe what carried him through was this, that his brothers, although they meant evil against him, his brothers were not in control of the situation. Because God could have overruled anything that his brothers planned or his brothers had schemed. He was acknowledging that even the mighty Pharaoh was not in control of the situation. Or Potiphar, whenever he was in Potiphar's house, he was able to have this assurance in his heart that they were not, even though they were mighty in the eyes of man, that they were not the answer to the situation, but that God, but God. Notice those words, but God. And friend, this morning, I believe that if you catch that in your heart today, that God is the one that is in control, that God is that sovereign, all-wise, all-powerful, almighty God, then I believe that no matter what the situation that you have to face, that you will be able to rejoice, because it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. I remember when I was over with Dr. Daniels, there was a young pastor there, a young colored pastor who was laboring for the Lord out there with Dr. Daniels. And his wife was a young lady and she took cancer and she was dying of cancer. And as they were burdening and as they were burdened about the situation and as they were thinking about it, and the young pastor's heart was breaking. One day, he was sitting beside his wife as he was coming near the end of the journey. And she said to her husband, she said, I want you to open the scriptures. And she turned him to Psalm 115. And these are the words that she read to him or spoke to him just a few hours before she died. Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And you know, as that young pastor sat beside his wife and he witnessed shortly after their passing into eternity, and he was telling me the story, you know, his heart was blessed by this fact. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. I was reading last evening and this morning in the book of Daniel. And you know, I was thinking how that in the midst of a situation in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar, an evil man whom God humbled, was able to say this concerning God in the book of Daniel chapter 4, verse number 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And God doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And then it says this, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? There's a sovereign God, friend. There's a God that's in control. There's a God that's able to see you through no matter what your situation is. Thank God it says there that none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And then another king said this in the chapter 6 in the book of Daniel, and this blessed my soul again, and it was Darius. And he wrote in verse 25, unto the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. He said, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be unto the end. May you get that into your heart this morning. That's the God that we worship. We can say, our God, but God. And that's what blessed and encouraged this young man, or blessed the soul of Joseph in the midst of all his trying situations, that God was still upon the throne. No person, no circumstance can thwart the sovereign plan of God. My friend, let me tell you, not everything that happened in Joseph's life was good. Because he said this, ye thought evil against me. And there were those things that came into Joseph's life, and they were purposed for evil. But despite that, God could turn it. God could turn it around. And God did turn it around. And Romans 8:28 says the same. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Therefore, despite all the evil that was planned, God ultimately turned it to good. Now, Joseph's life wasn't plain sailing. There were great wrongs. There were great trials that he had to face. There were afflictions that my troubled his loving heart. But instead of becoming bitter, he stood on God's promise. He relied upon the faithfulness of God. Now remember this, friend. Joseph hadn't this book that you and I have in our hands. Joseph didn't have this Bible. Therefore, Joseph didn't have all the promises that we can lean upon today, that we can rest upon in days of trial, knowing, my, that here's a promise that God has given, and we can claim the promises of God and stand upon the promises of God. But Joseph did not have these. But I'll tell you what he did have. Joseph had the assurance that the Lord was with him. He had the Lord. He had the Lord with him, and he felt that in the depths of his soul. He knew that from the depths of his being, and that's what brought him through. The Lord of hosts is with us. Friend, are you discouraged this morning? Is there something that has happened in your life, or perhaps over your life, that has been troubling you? It's been niggling at you. Where's God? Where's this God that you talk about? Where is this Almighty God that you worship and you praise? Has he died? This God is our God. He will be our guide even unto death. You know, sometimes, friend, it'll take eternity to reveal all what has happened in our lives. You remember what Jesus said to his disciples? What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know. And perhaps there are things that have come across our lives, friend, and we can't understand why. Why that God has allowed them to happen. But let me tell you, friend, one day God will reveal all the plan. And one day God will reveal all the purpose. And I can tell you, God's working it out according to the eternal counsel of his will. And isn't it better to leave it with God? Isn't it better to leave it with this sovereign God? You know, I was thinking about, think of the way of providence that worked in the life of Joseph. And I'll tell you this, I'll guarantee it worked differently than expected. Can I set your mind back just for a moment? You remember whenever Joseph, those first 17 years, he was brought up in that home. Now, he had brothers there, half-brothers, and I believe there was tension in that home, but he always was sure of this fact. His father loved him. And think of how providence worked in his life in those early 17 years of his life, friend. But I want to tell you, Joseph's life didn't finish there. Whilst it was true that The hand of providence was there in the first 17 years of his life. Let me tell you this. The next 93 years, he spent in Egypt. The next 93 years, he spent down there in Egypt and faced difficulties and problems. But I want to tell you, the providence of God didn't stop whenever he left Father's side. The providence of God was working the whole way through, right to the when he came 110 years of age, when he closed his eyes in death, and God's providence was working that day too. Do you see God in every day, friend? Do you see God in every situation? You see, that's why he is God, and we're his creatures. Because God's in control. He's sovereign in all things. That's the question in the scriptures. What is your life? Life's meanings. But let me tell you, friend, there's life's mysteries. Aye, and there's something else. There's life's miseries. But don't forget this. There's always life's master. One who is in control of the situation. And I think of that boy, Joseph. And I think of that day he went out with his brothers into the field to look after the flocks in chapter 37, where we started. And there was something happened in the field, because let me tell you what happened. He knew it was honoring his father. And whenever he came home to his father, he reported, give an evil report. That means he gave a report, a truthful report of the evil that was done. I hear people saying, wouldn't it have been better that Joseph had kept his mouth closed? Wouldn't it have been better that Joseph had said nothing? Let me tell you, my friend, Joseph was wanting, he was obligated to his father to speak out against the evil. I know there are people today and they say to us, why don't you keep silent about what is going on in this land of ours and the things that we're facing and in government today? Why don't you keep silent? My, you wouldn't be cut to pieces in the press or on the media or my on the known show or anywhere else. I say this in God's name. It is about time that we as God's people got a voice. That God's people, instead of being ashamed of what the Word of God says, I believe the Bible, I believe the book, I believe the Word of the living God. And people say, you know, was Joseph not a talebearer? No, friend, he wasn't. He wasn't clashing on his brothers. He was obligated, when his father asked him, he was obligated to tell the truth. I'll tell you the difference between a person who's a talebearer. A talebearer usually tells the wrong person. That's what a talebearer is. They want to tell the wrong person. I want to tell you this. The wrong is not in what they say. It's who they say it to. But Joseph said it to his father. He said it to his father. He said it to the right person. He was doing that which was right in the sight of God. But I tell you this, little did Joseph know that whenever he gave that report, what that would mean to him down the line. Little did he know the serious implications. But I want to tell you, God's providence was working there. God would honor him for honoring the Lord. And then the father said to him, Joseph, I want you to go out. And I want you to go, your brothers are away from home. I want you to see how the flock's doing. I want you to see how they are doing. And Joseph says, Father, I'll go. Now, Joseph knew, friend, whatever he was going that day, that would mean inconvenience to him. That would mean effort to him. That would mean a struggle to him, because he had to travel some 60 miles to Hebron to see his brothers. But he says, Father, I'll go. Do you not see the hand of providence, friend, in the midst of this all? Because whenever Joseph got there, his brothers weren't there. The Bible says that he was wandering in the fields. In other words, he was looking for them. He couldn't see them. But there was a man there. Here's the hand of providence. There was a man there. And the man asked him, what seekest thou, or who are you looking for? Whenever he told them, he's looking for his brothers. He said, you know, I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. Chapter 37, verse 17. Let's go to Dothan. Isn't it interesting? The man heard exactly where the brothers were. Joseph didn't say, well, you know, that Dad didn't tell me to go. He told me to go to Hebron, not to Dothan. No, friends, let me tell you, he was going the whole way with his father's command, no matter what it cost. And little did Joseph know that when he was taking that journey to see his brothers, what was going to wait for him. For his brothers were going to sell him as a slave. You say there's not a mistake? No, friend, there's the hand of providence. For God meant it for good. If Joseph had not been taken down to Egypt, the family's lives would never have been spared. They would have died of starvation and the famine. But God, but God, but God. I'll tell you something. Little did Jacob know whenever he was saying to his son that day, go to your brothers in Hebron. Little did he know that he'd never see his son for years and years and years and think that his son was dead. But God was working a plan. You see, Providence had him put in the pit. Providence had Reuben away when the Midianites came along that day. Providence was working when he was sold into Potiphar's house, and then he was put into the prison, and there was the baker and the cupbearer. Providence was working whenever Pharaoh's dream and the cupbearer remembering Joseph that day. Providence was working in the midst of the famine when Jacob sent his sons down to Egypt. And there they met Joseph for the first time. You know, so often in our lives, friend, you and I want to be thankful to God for the sweet things of life, but we're not so quick to thank God for the trials. We don't like them, the same. You know, I was thinking about this, and what if that man hadn't been in that field that day? Joseph would never have got to his brothers. Have you ever asked, what if? Let me tell you, friends, stop struggling with those things. Leave it with God. Leave it with God. This sovereign, almighty God. In 1895, there was a writer, Andrew Murray. And Andrew Murray was going through a great personal, physical affliction. And then he wrote to a woman suffering in England what he had learned in his own personal life. And this is what he said, or this is what he wrote. In time of trouble, say, first, God brought me here. It is by his will that I am in this difficult place, and that I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love, and give me grace in this trial to behave as his child. Then say, he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends me to learn, working in me the grace he means to bestow. And lastly, say, and in his good time, he'll bring me out again. How or when? He knows. Therefore, say, I am here by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, for his time. You get that in your heart, friend. You get that in your heart, friend. And that'll give you grace in the day of trial that will surely come. Joseph had learned so many lessons in that school of suffering. And thank God he portrayed the Lord Jesus Christ in his kindness amidst hurting, in his forgiveness, just like his master who prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then we come to verse 21, verse 22. And I want to tell you something, friend. More than 50 years passed between those two verses. More than 50 years passed between those two verses, and explain why. Joseph was 56 when Jacob died. He lived another 54 years down there in Egypt, and he died at 110. It seems, however, whilst he lived in the pomp and splendor down there in Egypt, yet in the latter days he was taking that back seat. He watched his family grow. Verse 23, it says, the son of Manasseh was brought up upon Joseph's knees. And then it says, verse 24, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And just like everyone else, friend, death's no respecter of person. The greatest of men or only men. And remember this, there's not one of us that are indispensable in the plan of God. Not one of us. We all have our period of time that God has given us. Swindle said, Joseph was led by grace, he spake by grace, he forgave by grace, he forgot by grace, he lived by grace, he loved by grace, he remembered by grace, and he died in grace. The grace of God throughout his life. But just before we finish, there are three simple things that I want to give you quickly in these last verses. First of all, notice Joseph's faith. It says there that the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. You see, Joseph was not a secret disciple. He's not like the Joseph of Arimathea in the New Testament. He spoke openly about his faith. His circumstances didn't change his faith. Whether he was in a place as a lowly servant or whether he was there upon place of authority in the land, he walked by faith and not by sight. Joseph actually left the earth without seeing the promise of God fulfilled. 200 years had passed since the promise had been given, first of all to Abram. But Joseph knew that God will fulfill his promise. Yes, Joseph would die, but thank God the promises of God don't. God's promises never die. And you'll notice it says in Hebrews chapter 11, and in the verse number 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. In spite of all the circumstances, he wanted the young generation to know that he believed the promises of God. Yes, they were there brought up upon his knees. And I believe as they sat upon Joseph's knee, he would tell those young children of the leading and the guiding of God in his life and the promise that God had made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. The promise that God would take them out of the place of bondage and that God would bring them back into the land of promise again. He believed that with all his heart. That was Joseph's faith. And maybe there's somebody in this service this morning and your faith's been tried. Maybe you've going through a circumstance in your life that maybe nobody else even knows. Maybe family, maybe financial, maybe circumstances, perhaps that nobody else knows. And your faith has been tried. Let me tell you, God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's his promise. God says, my God shall supply all your need. Now, not your greed, but your need. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, Joseph had not those promises, but Joseph believed God. He believed God. He trusted. His faith was in God, not in his circumstances. So many people look at their circumstances and say, where's God in this circumstance? I'll tell you where he is. He's upon his throne, remembering his people. And at the Father's right hand, there's one whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he ever liveth to make intercession for you. He has not forgotten you, but he remembers you before his Father's throne. That's his faith. But secondly, his fortitude. Look at verse 24, 25. Got to go this quickly. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. You see what's happening here? Just like his father, he gathers the family around his bed. And I want you to notice, Joseph's not looking back in life with regret, it says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. There's no expression of regret and no expression of grief. He knows his death's in the hand of God just the same way as his life was. And the day of my death is in the hand of God, friend, just the same as the days of my life. And my God, I leave them there. And I want you to notice that as Joseph gathered his brethren around, I want you to notice that Joseph was at peace with God and he was at peace with his family. Friend, that's a good way to die. That's a good way to die. To be at peace with God. Because listen, he says, I die and God will surely visit you. He was at peace with God. When peace like a river attendeth my way, those sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. He knew he was going to die, but thank God he was ready. So does everyone in this service know you have to die, friend. Now, the day of your death, you don't know. Maybe this day. But I asked you this question. Are you ready? Because, friend, that's the only thing that'll count. I want you to notice what Joseph, here's Joseph dying, and he says, listen, I die, and God will surely visit you. I want you to notice that Joseph did not boast of his greatness. From he was 17 years of age until now he's 110, he was a man of authority in the land of Egypt, and people did what he said. But he never made mention of one of it. He was not boasting about his greatness. He was not boasting about his achievements from a materialistic point of view. What was his final message as he was about to die? It was God. God. God was the final message. His life was God-centered, and his conversation was full of God. You go through the book, friend. Chapter 39, 9, chapter 40, verse 8, chapter 41, verses 16, 25, 42, chapter 42, verse 18, chapter 43, verse 29, chapter 50, verses 20, 24, 25. God's in it all. That's the heart of his life. And then he says this. Yes, I die. Remember he promised? He says, I will nourish you and your children. But he said, I die. He said, fear not. Fear not, I'll nourish you and your little ones, and he comforted them. But he says, now I die. And then he says, but God, God will visit you. I'm going. But God's going to visit you. My, what a comfort, friend. What a real comfort. What a real comfort. His faith was grounded in the character and in the word of God, the promises of God. Notice what he says. God will not only visit you, God will bring you out of this land onto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He rested upon the ground of the word of God. He pleaded the promises of God. And in his dying breath, he said, you know, God's going to honor his word. God will do what he has said he will do. Let me tell you, friend, you and I cannot honor God without honoring God's word. He was happy And notice what he said. Look at verse 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. He was happy to wait God's timing. He didn't know when that they were going to leave. But when it was God's time, that was good enough for him. Now there's some of you this morning and your life's in a mess because you're not willing to wait God's time. Your mind's going round because you're not waiting on God's timing. You're not waiting. Is that not good enough for you? To wait on the promise of God to be fulfilled. Interesting thing. Do you know all that Joseph, remember, for 93 years he was down in Egypt, friend? And do you know all that Joseph gave his brethren? Do you know all he had to bequeath them at the end of 93 years down in Egypt? His bones. That's all he had. That's all he had to give. And he says, ye shall carry up my bones. But he was willing to wait when God will fulfill his promise. He knew. Listen, God, notice these words. Twice he says, verse 24, God will surely visit you and bring you out of the land. Verse 25, God will surely visit you and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. There wasn't a doubt in his mind, but God would fulfill his promise. And then just go quickly to chapter 3 of Exodus. Chapter 13 of Exodus. And I want you to notice something. Exodus chapter 13, verse 18. And God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. That's all he could. That's all Joseph had to give, friend. But Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. Here's years later. And the children of Israel remembered the dying day of Joseph and remembered what he said, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away from thence with you, from hence with you. They remembered his last words. He says, God will visit you. And here's the last thought. We've talked about his faith, we've talked about his fortitude. Let's see his finish. Verse 26. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. That's simply it, friend. This mighty man. No funeral. No great hooray. Just to put him in a coffin. In Egypt. But I want you to notice something. Joseph's coffin was never buried. He was just put in the coffin. His coffin was not deposited in some of those Egyptian pyramids or some great tomb. It just stood there above the ground awaiting that day whenever it would be removed and taken back to Canaan when the time would come. You say, well, why did they not put it into a grave? No record of that. I believe the simple reason was this. That on the day of testing and the day of trial, they would look at the coffin. And perhaps they would doubt, would this trial ever come to an end? and this heartache ever be over? Would deliverance ever come? And then they would look at the coffin and to remember the words that Joseph had said. There's a day when you're going home and you're carrying me, my bones, because his flesh would be destroyed. All would be left with bone. F.B. Meyer said, "What a lesson must those unburied bones have read to Israel. When the taskmasters dealt hardly with the people so that their hearts fainted, it must have been sweet to go and look at the mummy case which held the mouldering remains, waiting there to be carried forward. And as they did so, this was doubtless their reflection. Evidently, then, Joseph believed that they were not going to stay here always, but that we will sooner or later leave for Canaan. Let us brace ourselves up to bear a little longer. It may be only a very little while." You see, friends, those bones were an encouragement that God had not finished with Israel, that God was going to bring them home. Those bones would be a rebuke to those tempted to settle down in Egypt. And those bones would exhort them to set their affection on better things than the leeks and the onions and the garlics of Egypt. Why? Because Joseph knew he was only a pilgrim. Joseph was in the midst of Egypt for 93 years, friend, but he was in the place where God put him. But he remained close to the Lord all the days of his life. And the book of Genesis ends with these words, "And he was put in a coffin." It starts with creation, Genesis. It ends with a coffin. It starts with life. It starts with life. The light and the darkness and the sky and the earth and the water and the trees and the plants and the birds and the fish and the animals. And then man, and God says, "All's very good." It starts with life, but it ends in a coffin. It ends in death because of man's sin. But as I finish, I want you to remember this. Joseph finished well. Is that the way you and I'll finish? Finish well. Thank God if you're saved, friend. We'll finish well, and I'll tell you why. Blessed or happy are the dead who die in the Lord. And whenever it comes, I don't know how, and I don't know when, but thank God I know this. As Wesley said, God buries his workmen, but God carries on his work. God's work didn't end in the coffin in Egypt, because Genesis is the book of beginnings. Thank God there was an Exodus. And thank God there was a Leviticus, and there was a Numbers, and there was a Joshua, and there was a Kings, and there were the prophets. And praise God, there's Christ. And Joseph, he being dead, yet speaketh. Robert Moffat, the pioneer missionary to Africa, said, "We'll have all eternity to celebrate our victories, but only one short hour before sunset to win them." With this I close. Joseph, what a life. My father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad to know He maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my God to lead, for He doth know the way. Though night be dark, and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in Him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to Him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all He'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, He makes not one mistake. May God help you to trust Him today. If you're not saved, trust Him as your Savior. Child of God, trust Him as your guide. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for Thy precious word this morning. We pray that You'll bless it to our hearts. Thank You for a life of a godly man, well lived, and death was glorious. O God, we thank Thee that we look forward to the day when we shall see the King in His beauty. See Jesus face to face. If there are those that are not saved, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, save them. For those that are backslidden, restore them. For those who are Thy children, encourage them. Bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen.